Tell your neighbor, we are blessed. Amen. You know, Isaiah 58 says something that is so powerful. And it's really the mission of our church, our lives, and we'll share more. And, you know, there's certain scriptures that just really relate. Now, we know that we're called to fast at times. We're called to tithe. And I love how Isaiah just kind of shocked the children of Israel. Because there was a time that they were fasting, but there was an ulterior motive, there was self-seeking in their fasting, and there was, you know, just the heart wasn't right, and God speaks through Isaiah. And I don't have time to share verses 1 to 5, but he says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" Now, you would think that he would go into Daniel fast, and he would talk about, how to eat, how not to eat meat, how to, you know, diet, or how to just, you know, stay away from food and to really fast the body. But here's what Isaiah said. "Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens." This is the motivation of fasting. And it says this, "And that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out?" We'll share a little bit. We're going to share a lot about that this morning. "And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth." Listen to this. "Like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go forth before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." Someone say, "God's got my back." Now, I preached a message on that, but think about that. Now, you might say, why are they up here? We're taking our missions offering today as well. And when I shared Isaiah 58, because I shared really that, you know, this is our time. We have missionaries that are in the hallway out there, pitchers, and there's some that we are supporting. In fact, two is Barton Christian. Who are Barton Christian? We just took them on as missionaries. Barton Christian came to us when they were about 16. And they came from West Babylon High School. And the teacher couldn't and the principal couldn't. It was more Christian than Bart. Christian was crazy. Bart was kind of his friend. And the principal called us and said, "Can you help these boys?" And we said, "Absolutely." Miriam took them under their wing. They joined our youth group. We brought them the Teen Challenge after school, taught them the curriculum. And these two crazy little young boys... Do you know where they are now? One is in Siberia with two kids as a full-time missionary. And the other one is in Morocco with two kids as a full-time missionary. Come on, somebody. And that's what we're giving to. Not only that, we give to our outreaches and so forth. But could we pray? Could we fast? I know you already tithe, but if maybe there's something left in your pocket or something you want to give, we do have checks designated and so forth. Thank you for your consistent faithfulness. So, Lord, this morning we thank you that we have the gift of your grace and your knowledge and the blessing that we can give to missionaries and to our outreach.
Soon and very soon, now we are going to see the Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
God a big clap offering. Could you stand with me real quick? I want to pray for this word that has been just bubbling in my heart, and just want to share it with us all here today. I'm going to be coming from 2 Samuel chapter 9, if you have your Bibles. And I'm going to be speaking this morning about grace, God's grace. How many here needs God's grace in our lives? We hear this message. Let me share this with you for just a moment, just a couple of verses. Hang with me. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, it says, "Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness of God?' And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.' So the king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Indeed, he is in the house of Machri, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar.' The king David sent and brought him out of the house of Machri, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David and fell on his face," watch this, "prostrated himself. And David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Here is your servant.'" Listen to this powerful, incredible moment. "So David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness,'" or that's really God's grace, "'for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I will restore you and all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.'" Now listen to Mephibosheth's response. "Then he bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?'" So, Lord, I pray for the next few minutes, God, that you would touch us all with this word. Without you, in a sense, we are dead dogs. But with you, we're sons and daughters of God. And this morning, I pray for a touch from heaven upon all of our lives, that we would just be transparent and unveil our lives and hear the word of God. And let the word speak into our soul. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Here's the title. Don't sit yet. Say this with me. The power of God's grace. Say that with me. The power of God's grace. Tell your neighbor, you got grace. Amen. You may be seated. Come on, one more time. Give God a big clap offering. So listen here. This message that I share with you this morning is just so touching, because I want to focus what I call one of the most powerful gifts from God to mankind. Of course, you're going to say Jesus. Can I get an amen? And of course that is. But the most powerful gift to mankind is God's grace in our life. Think of this. Besides the gift of God's grace, there's the gift of God's mercy, which is also one of the most powerful gifts from God. Let me share with you the difference between mercy and grace. Don't miss this. Listen. Mercy is the loving compassion of God that moved him to provide a savior for the sinner. Can I say it again? The loving compassion of God that moved him to provide a savior for the sinner. Grace is God's unmerited, unearned, undeserving, loving favor upon sinful man. Did you get that? Now watch this. I want to simplify this before you, but try to catch this. I think we'll have this up here. And I think you got this. Here's the definition of mercy simply. Mercy is this: you don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you deserve. There it is. But grace is you get what you don't deserve. Let me say it again. Mercy, you don't get what you deserve. Because how many here know we deserve a whole lot of stuff, bad stuff for what we've done? So you don't get but God's mercy. But grace is you get what you don't deserve. Amen? You don't get what you deserve. God's grace, you get what you don't deserve. And that's what this beautiful church, Destiny Full Gospel, is all about. Now, I want us to get in our spirit this morning, God's grace, and really give you a picture of the precious people God is going to send to us in our lives. Don't miss this. Because as we minister through our outreaches, as we minister through all of our concerts, and as you minister daily in your lives, there's going to be so many people God's going to bring in your life. Now, you know, in your bulletin that we have an upcoming outreach coming up in June. Amen. We have a concert coming in July. Hallelujah. Amen. We also, don't forget, we have a membership meeting on May 18th. We have all that good stuff. Now, besides the people God brings into this house, but think about this. When we go outside the house, how many little girls, how many precious little boys, think about this. How many young adults, how many teens, how many moms, how many dads who so desperately need God's grace? So I chose this morning the story of Mephibosheth because I think somehow all of us can relate to Mephibosheth. Because I believe it's one of the greatest stories of God's grace told in the Old Testament. When you really understand the story and what took place in the Old Testament with David. Now it's the story of King David and God's grace over Mephibosheth and his Jonathan's son. So let me give you and let me take you with me 3,000 years ago. Go with me in the Bible 3,000 years ago. We're in Israel. King Saul and Jonathan have just been killed in a bloody hand-to-hand battle at Mount Gilboa. The news of their death reached the capital city, the city of Jerusalem. It was a brutal time in history. It was customary that all members of the royal family be slaughtered by the new king to prevent any legitimate heir from claiming the throne in the future. So they were killed. And when the word reached Jerusalem that Saul and Jonathan had been killed at Mount Boa, besides David mourning, this is what took place to Jonathan's son. The nurse of Jonathan's infant son ran into the nursery, grabbed up Jonathan's baby, and ran for their lives. In the haste, she dropped the baby, breaking both of his legs and feet. And he was crippled for the rest of his life, and his name was Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is 5 years old at that time, and his guardians, what do? They flee to Lodabar. And they flee with Mephibosheth. Why? Because they knew that they were going to execute Mephibosheth. So the nurses, they wanted to save this precious soul, this crippled little boy's. And watch this. For 20 years, we don't hear about Mephibosheth. We don't know what took place. But we know from Mephibosheth, he's a cripple living in Lodabar. Someone say Lodabar. Now check this out. What is Lodabar? Lodabar literally means, in the Hebrew, it means barren pastures. It was a desolate place. But let me pause for a moment, because like I said, we're going to have some precious families coming to family day that we're going to have. And think about this. Many are living in desolate places like Lodabar. I remember we had an outreach on one time, and we had an outreach, and it was a basketball camp for kids. And so many kids would come, and hundreds of them. That particular day, I asked this young little girl, she's from the community of Amityville, to pray. I don't know why. Something just said, have her pray. I ran over to her and I said, would you pray for everybody? We were going to have lunch. That's right, because we serve lunch. Hot dogs and all that and good stuff. By the way, we got hot dogs today right after church. Thank you, Dino. Come on, somebody. We got, and you know what kind of dog? They're New York dirty dogs with the onions. Anyway, so there's this precious little girl. I don't know why. The Holy Spirit did, obviously. Just so happened that her mother happened to be there that day. And so I said, well, honey, would you pray? 10 years old. She gets up and she prays. I couldn't believe it. It was an anointed prayer. I was like blown away. Later on, you know what the mother came up to me? She said, Pastor Jimmy, thank you for having her pray. I just took her away from an abusive relationship with her stepfather, where she's been abused for many years. And she needed that pray. That little girl was in Lodabar. She was a Mephibosheth, and God brought her here to get some grace. Come on, how many in the house need grace this morning? Hallelujah. Mephibosheth ends up in Lodabar. Barren pastures, a desolate place. Really, it was like the ghetto. It was what we call the slums back in the day. Nobody would want to go find somebody in a slum, so Mephibosheth was just hiding out. Think about this. So they brought Mephibosheth to Lodabar because he was one of the living sons of Jonathan, fearing that he would be executed. So he's safe there, but he's a cripple. What is a cripple? Not only are you in Lodabar, but you're an outcast. You're a possible beggar. Think about this. You're cursed. In fact, Mephibosheth calls himself a dog. I just read that to you. And when David embraced Mephibosheth, verse 8, I read it to you. Let me read it again. He says, Mephibosheth, you're going to eat at my table. You know what, Mephibosheth? What is your servant? He falls down. I'm not worthy. What is your servant that you should look upon me such as a dead dog? Think about that. Think about that. So he's hiding out in Lodabar. No hope, no future, no destiny. Then after 20 years of hiding, one day King David is remembering his dearest friend, Jonathan. I want to just tell you something. Pause for a moment. I don't know what you're going through, but I know you have dreams, you have prayers. Debbie shared it. How am I going to make it? I want to let you know that God remembers you. Hallelujah. Come on. I don't know where you're at, what you're going through. You might feel like you're in Lodabar. I want to let you know He knows your name. He knows where you are, and He's going to take care of you because that's the power of God's grace, and we have God's grace. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. David asks a question that rippled throughout the corridors of the capital city. Is there anyone of the house of Saul that I might show them mercy and grace for Jonathan's sake? Think about this. Think of the question. Is there anyone? I could have given the title of my message this morning. Is there anyone? Is there anyone that I might show them mercy for Jonathan's sake? This is a divine statement of God's amazing grace. Is there anyone? Not someone deserving. Are you hearing this? Not someone brilliant who can help me run the country. But is there anyone? And that's the question the church in America needs to be asking. Is there anyone who needs grace? Come on, somebody. The people of America needs God's grace. They need the church to rise up. They need the church to stop sleeping and wake up and start being the loving light of the world. Come on, somebody. God's talking to me and you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Is there anyone? Think about that. And that's what this church is all about. May we never forget the people in Lodabar. You know, there's been over the years, people will say, you know, hey, you might have outreaches. And families come here on Easter. Families come here for the presents. They come here for the food. They come here for the bikes. But we don't see them, Pastor Jimmy. I says, well, God sees them. Our job, listen, you know what the Bible says? One waters, come on, one plants, and another waters, but God gives the increase, hallelujah. We know one thing we're called to do, to go to Lodabar and tell the people in Lodabar that Jesus loves them, we love them, and God's got your back, and God's grace is available to all, to anyone, hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody, give them a big shout. Is there anyone who needs to come through our doors whose life has been shattered? Think about it. Is there anyone whose dreams have been crushed? Is there anyone who has been abused and rejected? Is there anyone that needs healing in the marriage? Is there anyone that needs the power of grace in their life? And that's really the message this morning. We're all a Mephibosheth. Think about it. Without Christ, we're all crippled. Without Christ, we have nothing. We're just out here floating around trying to make some money so we can eat and we can sleep. And one day we're going to die. That's without Christ. That's how people are driven out here. Amen? You know, the bumper sticker says, he who has the most toys wins. Can I just correct that? He has the most toys often loses. Amen? But he who has Jesus wins. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone? God's going to bring beautiful, smiling, precious people into our church. But the inside, there's pain. Even all of us here. There's a ministry called Turning Point, Jimmy Lee. We started Turning Point back in 1993, I think. 94. A Turning Point ministry on a Thursday night. And Jimmy Lee shared this, a powerful man. He started this ministry called Turning Point for the church. And it's a curriculum for the church of discipleship. It's basically the Teen Challenge curriculum. It's about the loving grace of God. And on a Thursday night, it was a discipleship ministry. And we would have church on Tuesday night. We had church on Wednesday night. We had church on Thursday night. We had church on Friday night. We had church on Sunday. We had church on Sunday night. Pastor Diane, do you remember? Back in the day, we had a built-in outreach program, out-student, outpatient program. Come on, somebody, amen? Now we're lucky we can find a church. We'll have a midweek service soon. God's going to do all of that, amen? But he started, you know what he had a picture of? He was preaching one day, and as he was preaching, God gave him a visual. And he had this, he made this picture of Turning Point, of how he got it. I don't know, it was one of his books. And he said half the church were smiling, and the other half were frowning in bandages full of pain. He said, that's the church. Don't get me wrong, we're supposed to smile. Don't get me wrong, we're supposed to have the joy. Thank God we can come to church and get all the distractions out of our lives. Amen? But you know what the church is for. For this moment of time, it's for God's love, the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God increases your faith. What is the church for? It's a healing Holy Ghost hospital where God raises you up. It takes Mephibosheths, raises up the cripple, sends them out to the world, raises up the Bart, raises up the Christian, sends them to Siberia, to Morocco, to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, that's the power of God's grace. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Think about the moms and dads that come up here. It was filled on Easter. We loved it. See all the families. They come up. I know them because I've been in Lodabar. I know what Lodabar is about. It's a place of anxiety. It's a place of doubt. It's a place of insecurity. It's a place of fear. It's a place even where Debbie, when her husband passed away, that moment of time, how am I going to make it? Hallelujah. But she comes to their church. You get energized. You hear the Word of God. Your faith is built and God gives you the power of His grace. They're coming from a place called Lodabar. And here's the good news. When they come to Destiny Full Gospel Church, they're going to hear the call of the King. It's a call of God's amazing grace that will give you a new beginning. Think about this. It's a call, is there anyone that I might give grace? You know what it is? It's a call of a new beginning. It's a call of a second chance. It's a call of a new life. It's a call of amazing grace. Hear the voice of Almighty God calling you today from the balconies of heaven. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? I will restore you, heal you, redeem your life. Come on. Can we give Jesus a praise? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Here's Destiny Full Gospel's church mission. I shared verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God has appointed me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison doors to all those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console all those who mourn in Zion, to give them, listen to this, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Come on, somebody! That's what the church is all about. Oh, tell your neighbor, God's good. Hallelujah. That's our mission. Now let me define our mission and our method and our motive a little more. Our mission, our method, and our motive. Jesus is the sovereign King of our lives and our church. Let me say it again. Jesus is the sovereign King of our lives and our church. I'm not just a pastor, but I'm a coach. Amen? And we're building a team full of love and the power of God's grace. Amen? And guess what? The Bible is our game plan and our playbook. Hallelujah. And I'm going to teach you how to share the gospel of grace to the down and out, to the executive, to the homeless. We're building a love and mercy grace team to the addicted, to the criminal, to the adulterer, to the businessman, to fathers and mothers. Is there anyone who needs God's grace? Come on, somebody. We're going to share mankind's greatest gift, the power of God's grace to those in Lodabar. Hallelujah. Man, I love sharing the gospel, don't you? Hallelujah. There's no greater joy than sharing the gift of God's grace. Think about it. We're going to share the power of God's grace to the alcoholic, to the prostitute, to the backslidden church member, to heal marriages, to heal broken hearts, to all the lost souls. And we have the answer. It's the power of God's grace. Listen to this. Secular humanists do not have the answer. Dr. Phil doesn't have the answer. Judge Judy doesn't have the answer. Even the Knicks don't have the answer. Bless them, Lord. God's amazing grace is the answer. Come on, somebody, give them a praise today. You're getting me excited up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about it. God's grace gives you a new beginning. God's grace is greater than your sin. Amen. Hallelujah. What does the Bible say? Paul said, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds much more. Amen. God's grace is greater than all your faults, all your failures. God's grace can heal all things. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to the story. Hang with me for just a few more minutes. I want to share about this young man, this young cripple called Mephibosheth. David says, is there anyone in the house of Saul? There's an administrator named Ziba. We read this. Who steps out from the shadows and he says to David, there's one, but he's a cripple. Did you catch that? There's one, but. Whenever we hear a but, oftentimes there's a negative connotation that follows that. There's a precept when you hear but. It's like, okay, is there good news or bad news? Sometimes that word however and but introduces something negative. And Ziba says to David, there is one. There is one from the house of Saul. There is one, but he's crippled. Thank God. Do you know what God does? He loves crippled people. He loves crippled people. Hallelujah. He said, there's one, but he's crippled. He's one, but he's crippled. You know, last night, you know where I was? I was at what's it called? Quinceañera. I was at a quinceañera. I don't know if it's Puerto Rican, but it's definitely Spanish or Latino. However, my family, Miriam's Puerto Rican, and so it's her brother's little daughter. And she's crippled. She's been crippled. She's never walked. And yesterday was her quinceañera. And I'm preaching this message tomorrow, and you wouldn't believe what I was witnessing. It was unbelievable. And all her friends were there. There was about 8 friends, all crippled. You ever see the commercial with the little kids in the wheelchair? One of them was there. It's on the TV show. And running around with no legs. And a lot of them, they're just like this. Some of them are just like this. And little Mikey was there. And I went up to, so Paul, my brother-in-law's daughter, Andrea, and is crippled. I forget the disease that she has. She just can't walk. And she's been bound all her life. And she can't function properly inside as well. She needs help all of her life. And Paul's first son is the same way. And so he was there. So they're flying around. And they're dancing. And Mikey was there. And I was talking to Paul's son, little Junior. He's in a wheelchair too. He's the oldest boy. It wasn't his birthday. We already had his deal. And I was next to him, and little Mikey, who's like this in the wheelchair, I go, Paul, you check. And Paul can talk very well. So can Andrietta and function their hands. They're just from here down doesn't work at all. And I said to little Paul Jr., I said, you check out the Knicks. He goes, I'm not a Knicks fan. But all of a sudden we hear, Mikey, I'm a Knicks fan. I was high-fiving him. I brought my phone out because the other day when the Knicks won, I had my Knicks jersey on. I had my Knicks shirts I found at TJ Maxx. I was cheerleading the Knicks through. Amen? And me and Mikey were Knicks fans. And I sat and I watched. And I watched as they were dancing, and some of them, they were feeding this one little girl, beautiful little girl, and they had to feed her. She couldn't even feed, and I just said to Miriam, I said, look at them. I said, look at us. I said, we experience anxiety, doubt. Look at how happy and how joyful and how exciting they are. And I want to tell you something. God loves the cripple. God loves the brokenhearted. He gives grace where you can shout again. You can dream again. You can dance again. Come on, somebody, give him a shout. That's the power of God's grace. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You see, he says, but he's crippled. You see how the story goes. But he's crippled. He's not one of us. David didn't say, who is he? You know what David said? Where is he? You know what Jesus says? Where is he? There's no but before your name. Oh, somebody shout. There's no but before your name. Right next to your name is, where is he? Where's Jimmy? Where's you? I've got a plan of grace. I've got a destiny for him to fulfill. He might not walk, but I'm going to rise him up where he's going to run, preach, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, where is he? That was David's response. Where is he? David said, go get him and bring him home. Go get him and bring him home. Ziba said, he's in Lodabar. Ziba is just packing it. Like, are you sure? This dude's an outcast. He's dirty. He's not like one of us. Ziba wasn't getting it. And David said, I don't care. Bring him home. Hallelujah. Bring him home. Hallelujah. People say, you know, hey, do I have to get dressed to come to church? Absolutely not. You come in here smelling, stinking. That's what the church is all about. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a story about this crazy, crazy hippie dude who came into church, and it was one of them, you know, stiff churches, all dressed up and so forth. And all of a sudden, there was this guy just comes up and he just squats on the floor with shorts, mangled hair, just all wild. And he said, everybody was looking at him. Everybody was looking at him. And they were wondering what the pastor's going to do with this guy, this dirty guy. He's disturbing the service. All of a sudden, this 75, 80-year-old man who's dressed up to the T but with a cane. You hear him clicking up, walking up like this. And everybody's staring at the old man. What's he going to do? Probably going to rebuke him. He was one of the deacons. The old man gets next to the guy sitting. The old man puts his cane here and squats right next to him and gives him a big hug and starts praising Jesus. Come on! That's what the church is all about. Hallelujah. We see some strange people in the church, don't we? Thank God for the strange people. Glory to God. David said, go get him, bring him home. Ziba said, he's in Lodabar. That's the barren pastures. That's the barren place. It's a place where life has no meaning. It's a place where fear rules your mind. It's a place where broken promises have shattered your dream. It's a place where your marriage is dead or dying. It's a place where you have no peace, where there's no laughter, no direction. But I've got good news for you. Come on, somebody. Just ask King David. King David. King David went looking for Mephibosheth. And God's looking for you. And he's looking for me. I want to tell you, God's into the out scattered people of the world. God's in the streets. If Jesus was here today, he'd pop in for a little while. But guess where he'd be? He'd be in Lodabar. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. God's looking for us. King Jesus is walking in our presence this morning. And he wants to give you grace that heals. He wants to give you a new beginning. He wants you to have joy that's unspeakable, full of glory. Hallelujah. So back to the story. David sends his soldiers out to get Mephibosheth. Remember, Mephibosheth is 20 years in the hiding. Remember the fact that he just doesn't know what's happening. Remember, Mephibosheth hears that soldiers are after him. They're asking people in the hood, because it's like the hood. Where's Mephibosheth? The word gets out in the hood that 5-0 is after Mephibosheth. Amen? So Mephibosheth is probably hiding. He's hearing that he's out. He's probably saying, it's over. It's my time to get executed. And then Mephibosheth sees King David's royal chariot thundering up to the shack where Mephibosheth has been hiding for the past 20 years. Mephibosheth is afraid. Why? He's afraid he's going to be found and he'll be executed and killed. Can you imagine Mephibosheth's face? He probably has no idea. He's placed in the chariot. The king's stallions race toward Jerusalem. And David awaits his arrival. And Mephibosheth is certain it's his execution day. But when Mephibosheth comes before the king, he falls flat on his face. And watch what David says. And King David, full of grace, says, "Fear not, Mephibosheth. I'll surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan and for my dear friend. I will restore to you all the land that you lost. And you will eat at my table continually." Hallelujah. What a scene of God's grace. I want you to picture this. Here's Mephibosheth. And here's David's table. David was waiting for Mephibosheth. And just like Jesus is waiting for us. Now picture the royal king's table. The historian said it could have been at least 30 feet long. Because he would invite his captains at times at this special eating. So check this out. Here is this incredible table. And here on one side is Absalom, David's son, his hair glowing. How many know David, he had some serious fro, amen? And his hair is glowing. On the other side, there's Solomon with wisdom just shining through him. Think about that. On the other side is Benaniah, amen? Shammah, hallelujah. And think of these guys. These are special forces cut. Amen? And there's this royal table with the captains and his sons. And at the end of the table is King David. It's something that we'll see in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? Something we look forward to that Jesus is preparing for us. Suddenly, this crippled boy comes in. And he just comes in and you're hearing clang, 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 clang. Clang, clang. And he's up there and he's walking towards this glorious table. Let's just say this is this glorious table. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, there's Absalom, there's Solomon, Benaniah, Shammah, and Saul, and Joab, rather, and so on. And then all of a sudden, King David. And here comes this cripple. And David says to him, "Sit, Mephibosheth. You shall eat continually at our table." And Mephibosheth sits at the table. And you know what it's called? Isn't it interesting? I wonder if we got it from here. What do we do when we before we eat? We say grace. And we're at the table. You know what's so awesome about this? Just like yesterday, when I watched Adriana and all her friends, you watch them hear up. You don't worry about their legs. When he sat at the table, God's grace covered Mephibosheth's crippled wounds. Come on, somebody, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about all of us. Come on up, worship team. We want to pray. Think about how all of us, we're all a Mephibosheth. We're all broken people who got restored because of God's grace. Amen? Camille, for a minute. Come here, Camille. So Camille, sit at the table of God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And I use Camille. I'm getting to know a lot of you here. But I know Camille. Camille came to us how many years ago?
1998.
And Camille came because she was broken. And she was crippled. She was wounded. Her family rejected her. Not only because of her faith, because of other things. And her husband was crazy. And she came to us and she came seeking God's grace. And we brought her to church. And she sat at the table of grace. Amen? And think of that. Manuel, come here for a minute. Manuel came to us. Manuel came to us and only what, three years ago. And Manuel has had a crazy life like mine. Maybe a little crazier, I don't know. And he found him and he found us at this catering hall of the Sons of Italy on Deer Park Avenue. He was a maintenance man there, just helping out. And guess what he started? He started helping us set up the stage for our church. And I said, Manuel, just hang out. And just, you know, it was him and Alex. And two of them, I said, just, and Alex just booked, didn't care. But Manuel cared. Because I've noticed something. When people, just like those beautiful girls that were in wheelchairs yesterday, and the boys, there's something special inside of Mephibosheth. There's a heart that is so special that broken people have, that many people don't have. That's why the sinner who came to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears, he said, for much was forgiven, much loved. The more you're broken, the more you get a soft heart. And Manuel came to us 3 years ago, and Camille came. And you know what they came? You know what they got? We covered them with God's grace. We covered Manuel. Think about this. With God's grace. Hallelujah. Come on. Camille, stand with me. Camille has been a missionary, has served in Dominican Republic, has lived in a hut to serve these precious, broken ladies from Dominican who were prostitutes and drug addicts, and she lived there. Hardly knew the language, and in a little bed in a room, and served God, and is an incredible minister and a missionary. And Manuel has been a servant of the Lord. He's got a wife now, Myra, and he's a top-notch worker at Habitat for Humanity. Come on, God's grace. Hallelujah. What did David say? What does Jesus say? Is there anyone? Come on, somebody. Is there anyone? Amen. Thank you. How many here need some grace? Come on up. Let me pray for you. Let's pray. Come on up. You need some grace. Come on. You need God's grace on your life. Let's pray for you this morning. I got something special I want to show you that I've never seen before. I've never seen this before. Come on up. Let's pray. I wish I had a whole bunch of quilts and blankets and covers just to throw it over all of you. So, I don't know if it was last night or this morning. I think it was at the end of very early in the morning. I'm a night owl, so I work very late. So I saw this. And I said, God, this is for us. My gosh, how powerful this is. I want you to see how many times David reiterates that Mephibosheth is going to eat at his table. In this short verse, this short chapter. Listen to what it says. In verse 7, so David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's sake, and will restore you in all the land your grandfather had, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Verse 7. Watch this. Verse 10. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, he shall eat at my table always. That's 2. Verse 11. As for Mephibosheth, the king said, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Verse 13. Listen. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and his feet were both lame. Listen to what it says. It blows my mind. How awesome is God? He doesn't forget to call Rahab the harlot for all of us. Not to put her down, but to let you know how far and how deep God's grace is. And never forget where you come from. The last words is this. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. And God is inspiring David to write this. And he says, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. It doesn't matter what society. It doesn't matter what genealogy. It doesn't matter what background. Whether you're from Lodabar or you're from California, Beverly Hills. God loves us and wants us to eat at his table. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We want to pray for God's grace in our lives. Amen. I want to tell you, folks, the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Just relax your mind for a minute. Just relax your mind. If your heart just needs grace, listen, where sin abound, grace abounds much more. Where faults abound, grace abounds much more. Where mess abounds, grace abounds much more. Where anxiety abounds, grace abounds much more. I want to tell you, God's grace is all we need. Say this with me, church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, your unearned favor for our lives. Today, I receive your grace and your mercy. Thank you for saving me, sustaining me, sanctifying me. And this day, I reach my heart up to heaven and I receive your grace. And I thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, my Savior, my everything. He's the center of my life. Nothing else matters. Amen. Come on, give him a big shout. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus for all of us here this morning, for your mercy, for your grace, for your love to fill our soul, our mind, our thought life, our attitude, our emotions, God, our purpose and our destiny. Strengthen us, God, that we might share this grace with all. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, God's grace is powerful. Take the notes.
I can take it too. I just saw that melon. Very powerful.
Thank you. Bless you. Oh, thank you.
Oh my Amen. God. Oh my God.
So yes.
Beautiful. Anointed.
We're all Mephibosheth.
Thank God.